you can be the best thing that's ever happened to you. As we bid farewell to another year, it's a natural time for contemplation for all of us. The triumphs savored, the missteps examined, and the many challenges faced. Reflecting on the past year isn't just an end-of-year ritual. It's a vital exercise in recognizing our personal evolution. But let's shift our gaze beyond the horizon of annual goals, as real transformation is sculpted through much broader strokes of time. Consider this, my brother. Who you become is the sum of your actions, repeated with intent across 5-year chapters. The most significant changes are not abrupt, but the fruits of perseverance cultivated with years of steadfast dedication. With 2024 marking a decade of unwavering confidence and determination to achieve with the Longhairs, we are filled with gratitude for a journey that has been nothing short of epic. Between the milestones, camaraderie, community, and the raw moments of tenacity, there's an abundance of stories, too many to confine in this intro. And that's precisely why El Sicario, Elefante, and myself, El Moreno, have revived the podcast mics here at the Longhairs HQ and delve deep into the lessons learned and to the glory to come. I would like to thank you for being here as we unravel our reflections and aspirations, drawing lessons from a decade's journey to inspire our strides into 2024 and beyond. More than personal milestones, it's about ongoing growth and channeling our collective efforts, forging ahead with purpose and vigor, especially to pull off the Great Cut. And speaking of the Great Cut, that is our title sponsor for this episode of Let It Ride. The Great Cut is a world record charity hair donation going down on March 16th of 2024 here in San Diego. You can find everything you need to know about the Great Cut at thegreatcut.us. Tickets are live. If you can make it here at San Diego, we want to see you in person. You can register as a hair donor, as a hair cutter if you're a stylist or barber, and general admission if you just want to come and party. It's going on from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. with a jam-packed schedule in between. It is going to be an event that you will not want to miss. Now, if you absolutely can't make it, but you do have hair to donate, you can still register and participate from afar with our mail-in donation option. So head on over to thegreatcut.us, check out all the things available for you there, and select what is best for you. We hope to see you in San Diego on March 16th of 2024. Now let's get into the show. Here it is, 2024, facing us dead on, staring us down. Been through a lot this year. Kind of the motto of this podcast, grow more in 2024. Really a challenge for not only you guys, but everybody listening here too, which is you guys.
And us.
And us. To grow more. Maximize yourself. So where do you want to start?
I mean,
how about you shaving your head at the Great Cut? Yeah. That's like kind of a big reset opportunity to take a whole new perspective from the life as you've known it and grow more from that experience.
Yeah, I think...
Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. I think I have always, like, tried to be very careful of not, like, finding my identity in my appearance. But I think the hair is just, like, it's connected to you. You know, it's not like glasses or hats or, you know, you could be a hat guy, you could be a glasses guy. But
just take them off at the end of the day.
Yeah, but long hair, it's like, it's a part of you. And I'm at the moment very much looking forward to having short hair for a bit. I know I'm going to miss it when it's gone, but it is going to be a good reset and it's going to be a good reminder, I think, for me to not place so much stock, you know, in my appearance. Like I'm still the same guy. You know?
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of my thoughts on shaving the head and I'm excited to start fresh and take a lot of the things I've learned over the last 5-6 years growing it out for the first time and apply them to the new hair and the new growth and, you know, take care of it a little bit more, get myself a one of those shower filters, you know, hard water filters and really take it seriously from the beginning, you know, because my hair
health-wise, what you're eating and everything. Yeah,
all that. Just keep it going, what I've been doing with the diet and exercise and all that stuff, and really just see, because my ends are pretty burnt right now. You know, it's long. It's past my nipples. And
looking crispy.
Yeah, looking a little crispy. So, yeah, I'm excited for the reset.
Nice. So the rumblings are that El Sicario over here is not only going to shave his head, but his beard.
Yeah.
Holy we have never shit. Seen his bare face. He's going to look 15 years younger.
Only in pictures.
So talk about a reset. I mean, that's going to be a major one.
Yeah, the last time I shaved my face was March 12, 2017. And I know that because I had to shave my face for my best friend's wedding. Because he, of course, wanted us to wear our dress blues. And so I had to be like in grooming standards.
Yeah.
So I didn't have long hair then, though. I had like an undercut. But I had the beard, so I had to like cut it all off.
Dang.
And I haven't shaved since then.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've gotten married since then. My wife's never actually seen my like real face. she's seen pictures, but not in person. And I know I've said this before on the show, but I always tell her like, you get one freebie. If I shave my face and you don't like what you see, you can walk away. No questions asked.
Very generous of you.
Yeah. But as far as the hair, I mean, I started growing my hair in 2018.
Okay.
And, it'll be, what is that? 6 years, just shy of 6 years by the time I cut it. And I definitely, my mental image of myself is with long hair at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about just like what I look like. I don't even really remember myself with short hair anymore. So it'll definitely be kind of weird. You know, all the little gestures like,
sure,
you know, whatever, you know, fidgeting with your hair or whatever, like that's all going to be very weird.
Right.
But yeah, I was talking to Shelby, Shelby Shears, obviously she's my barber and she's been on the show before.
Yeah. She's been on the Main Cave a bunch and this podcast here.
Yeah. So I was talking to her about it and, it's going to be nice. Like, I actually enjoy the barbering experience, you know, having someone masterfully cut my hair and getting shaved. Like, I like that stuff. And so I am going to enjoy that, like, being able to do that again, probably for a few months.
Like, regularly going in and getting cleaned up and stuff.
Yeah, I think my plan is going to be to just let it start growing back, but then I'm going to continuously have it cut with like different styles that facilitate it just growing back.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to like purposely stay short that long. I'm also like just mentally treating that as kind of like a new phase. There are like, what are other things I can change about myself to kind of go with that new vibe of new change?
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm kind of taking, I don't know, I think we've all taken that approach over the last couple of years of really working on changing ourselves, you know, getting better physically, mentally, really kind of forced to, emotionally, but not only in our personal life, but in the business side, we've had to survive. But I was looking at the calendar today and, the gray cut is exactly 75 days from January 1st.
Holy smokes.
Nice.
Yeah, we're 2.5 months. We are out of time.
I think I'm going to start 75 hard on Sunday.
Nice.
And take it all of it. So then I'll finish on Friday, the day before the gray cut.
Just be yoked. Nice. Totally yoked.
Because there's no way I'm not having at least a beer at the gray cut.
Yeah, dude.
It's going to be a party, guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be popping with the bands and everything.
Yeah.
Plus just the joy in the building. I can't wait for you guys to experience it because it's so special. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be kind of, I think my approach going up is just come into the Great Cut the best I've ever been.
Yeah. Are you, what's
which
your
is building
length
on top of the last 2 years of work?
Yeah. Are you cut? How short are you cutting?
I don't know.
You're
you guys
keep some,
talking
right?
about shaving it. I'm like, kind of tempted to go back and shave it again, man, too.
You did. You yeah. have paid yeah. your dues there already.
I shaved yeah. it last. I know. I did it. I shaved it. It was awesome. Honestly, I felt like it grew back super fast.
Mm.
But I feel like one of us has to at least hold down shoulder length.
Yeah. And Chris yeah. is shaving so, his, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all you, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also looking forward to, I'm treating having short hair as an opportunity for us to, not because, you know, now we have like Cash, yeah. Center for Awkward Stage Hair, for anyone that's not been there.
Awkwardstagehair.com. Yeah. Go sign up if you're growing your hair out.
Yeah, exactly. And so now it'll be an opportunity for multiple guys on the team
yeah.
to go through the awkward stage, and guys can go through it with us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think it's a huge opportunity. Like, that is at its whole, that whole project's kind of at its base level, right?
Yeah.
If all you guys are going through it, imagine how great we can create that.
Way more awkward stage content, yeah. fresh stuff.
And we're just not... more authenticity with you guys, like actually going through it. I mean, I did my best with the grow with Moreno, but I wasn't thinking in the, I was just like, I got to document this somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, we have the, that center. So it's very, it's a better mindset to be like, oh, I'm going to make this for the center.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we have a big opportunity to develop our awkward stage content even further.
Yes, and we also have a big chance to miss an opportunity Sean brought up last night that's really good. It's like, we better start capturing more stuff of all of us with our long hair.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a long time before you guys have it back.
Yeah, that's true.
So we got to lock down the street cred
yeah,
will,
we need
with
to,
you boys.
We need to shoot some lifestyle video, get some yeah. good lifestyle yeah. photos of all of us. And
you know,
I mean, we got to stack 2 years worth of long hair content into the next 2.5 months.
Something I was thinking about this morning, actually, is we're going to have like a new, because, you know, we have like lots of haters. Not a lot, but we have like the same caricatures of
yeah.
haters, right?
Yep, yep.
We're gonna have a new one, which is the people that like ridicule us because they don't know, because they're just gonna see a bunch of short hair guys
yeah.
with a long hair product
yeah.
company,
yeah,
and they're just gonna like hate on us, like, oh wow, you don't even use your own stuff, like yep. you guys are, because they don't know that what we just did.
Well, I
and
think
I'm looking forward
that's
to
that's what the cred comes in. I mean, we have a lot of photos and stuff, but yeah, we need the all the way to the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I'm not dreading them. I'm looking forward to them because it's going to be like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have long hair. Well, here, go check this out.
Exactly.
This is why I don't have long hair.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Yep. Well, we got a lot of people who I think have all their own reasons for why they're going to be showing up and like why they're donating and stuff. Can't wait to hear those stories.
Mm-hmm.
We did just drop the tickets. And it's kind of a soft launch, but they've been flying out, and that's been a powerful, what's the word I'm looking for?
Encouragement.
Definitely encouragement, affirmation.
Yeah.
Just another affirmation of like, yes, this, we're bringing this into the world. It's happening. Yep. And oh, almost 200 people are down right off the get.
Yeah. Off the first email send.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. If you think about it, We're like nearing 200, right? Like you just
yeah,
said.
Yeah.
181 at
and
last
so
I checked.
There's a like already that we are toying with, like, dude, we might be already donating like nearly 1,000 feet of hair.
Oh yeah.
With those people.
Yep.
I know the record's measured in pounds, but I'm
right,
just saying
right.
like when you put it at that scale. I was talking about the Great Cut with a friend the other day, and I was telling them, because, you know, I told them, like, yeah, we're going for the record, and we already have the record, and we want to break it and all this stuff. And then they did this thing that I know they weren't trying to be a hater, but I think it's, like, in our human nature to kind of where someone always has to say, well, what if you don't do it? What
yeah,
if you,
yeah.
What if you don't break the record? And I said, who fucking cares?
Yeah. Children with hair loss gets a shitload
yeah.
of hair.
Yeah.
I said, we either break the record and donate a freaking ton of, like, you know, not literally a ton, but you know what I mean? Like a huge pile of hair, or we don't break it and we donate a huge pile of hair. It's like,
yep.
we can't lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and know? It's the money too. I mean, the
yeah.
amount of money that's going to get generated for children with hair loss, the exposure for them. And really at the end of the day, it's all about those kids who are going to receive I mean, the record's like the icing.
Yeah.
It's like a fun, a fun thing.
Yeah, the record is like something cool to tell people, but it's we're not doing it to be. We're not even in the freaking book for Guinness, right? Like, we don't even get to be in the book. It's not.
That's
about,
another 10 grand.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's like, who cares about? I mean, yeah. Obviously, I'm not. I'm if I had to pick one or the other, I'm gonna pick yes. Let's. I hope that we break it, but it's about like doing something really good.
Yeah, exactly.
For a very overlooked disability, right? And like obviously I don't think that like I don't subscribe to this like, well, I don't care about alopecia because there are other more serious disabilities. Like, yeah, but it's if it's a simpler problem, then it's easier to fix. Right? So something as simple as, hey, let's all donate a bunch of hair, and then you know Children with Hair Loss announced they helped still like they helped 600 kids this year.
Yeah,
right. And it's like,
I think it was more, but yeah.
So yeah, like over 600 kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, just like that, the simple act of yours is going to grow back, right? Theirs will may never come back, right? It's like, just donate it.
And what it means for those kids, you know, putting out good into the world. You guys got to experience the kids for the first time going to the Children with Hair Loss Charity Ball. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's been a little over a month since then. I mean, how's that like experience impacted your guys' whole kind of view of the Great Cut?
I think for me it's really put the faces to the hair.
Yeah.
And it's like renewed my motivation to take care of it and treat it well, and you know, because I can see the kids' faces, you know, who are going to be receiving my hair. And yeah, that's what it's done for me. It's just still like those kids on the catwalk, you know, doing their fashion show, like is seared into my memory.
Yeah.
Just the smiles. And dude, I'm getting
so
emotional
pumped
talking about it right now.
They were. Yeah.
They were, it was like, dude, I had tears in my eyes for the first half hour of that thing. Just like watching these little girls feel like princesses for the first time in who knows how long, you know?
Yeah.
And just to be a part of that was really special.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, dude. I was like, it felt cool to be able to make people happy. You know, obviously not all of that was because of us, but we're a contributing factor to that.
Yeah.
Right. And just thinking about like this thing that I've, you know, before I got involved with the long hairs and all, I just never thought about my hair. Right. And how this thing that I take for granted, I wake up and I know it's going to be there, right? And then I meet all these people and it's like, you know, of course you have some jerk that's going to be like, oh, no, whatever. It's just hair. Like, don't, you know, it's like, yeah, but you don't have alopecia. You're not a little kid with alopecia. And like, you know, kids are ruthless, dude. And even the adults that spoke at the event that were saying, like, I still get bullied as an adult. And it's like, dude. Right. So it's like, okay, I get to be a part of something that's like, I can make a difference. I can contribute to something that makes a difference for a group of people that often just get overlooked.
Yeah.
You know,
I think going back just to touch on the alopecia is not a serious issue and there's so much more important things to be worried about. I think that's kind of a sentiment I feel like just society, at least in the U.S. right now, about where there are so many people that look at you if you don't post about X cause or Y cause.
Yeah.
If you don't die on the hill that they die on, you're not a good person.
Yeah.
And the fact is that not everybody can die on every hill, and not everybody can take up every banner, and not everybody can fight for every cause. Nor should you.
And it doesn't have to be a yes, no, or you're on this team or that team. And that's like, that's what you're saying. Like,
we're all here just doing our best. And this is the cause that we can really make an impact in. And we need to lean into it and focus on it. And this is the hill that we choose to die on. You know, the long hairs aren't going to comment on every issue that happens, but this is our hill.
I totally agree with what you said. It's not a competition.
Yeah.
It's not like because somebody somewhere is hungry or someone is caught in a war zone or whatever. Like, it's not a competition. It's not like only one person should get help. And you made a point about this is the cause that we can affect,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I can't do anything about those people,
yeah,
right? But I can do something for these people,
yeah,
for the, like, the kids with the children with hair loss. I can do something to help with that,
something tangible,
yeah. And if yeah. obviously, if I can do something to help the other causes, sure, but I think it's like, if you want to change the world, make your bed,
yeah,
first, right? And it's just like, well, I'm only gonna help if it's like some continent where, or I'm never gonna go to in my life. It's like, why? When if you look out your window and you see someone that needs help right there, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you help them first?
Yep,
they're right there. Mm-hmm. Just walk outside, right? And I think that there's this thing with social media where it's like, well, I only want to help the people that are gonna get me more clout.
Yeah.
You know,
the so like worst cause, yeah, the most fucked up thing,
the most messed up thing. And it's like, it's not like, like us helping kids.
Sometimes it's not even the messed up thing. It's just what's the hottest thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, well, that's what I'm saying. Right? Like, yeah. like what's going to get me the most likes.
Yeah.
Right. And so the most likes are the biggest current events, conflicts, yeah. right? Like right now in the Middle East or in Eastern Europe. Right. And it's like people only want to talk about that because that's everywhere. And mm-hmm. now you get to be a part of the overall clout of yeah. the situation. But, and so I remember I know this is kind of like a loose tie-in, but there was a massive earthquake in Haiti, and mm-hmm. it was like horrible, like huge destruction, like people totally displaced.
Yeah, yeah. 2010 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. And you guys are familiar. I think his name's Will.i.am, mm. the rapper yeah. or whatever.
He's Haitian, right?
I think he is. Yeah. I hope I'm not saying the wrong person.
Oh, I think you're thinking of, I think you're thinking of another guy, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm butchering this, but there was a musician and he brought up a point that's like, anytime there's a crisis, all these celebrities, they want to donate money or they want to do something and their fucking face is all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for them. And they want to do what he said is like, they want to do the sexy thing.
Mm-hmm.
They want to provide meals. They want to blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but sometimes they don't even send the aid that's required, that's needed.
Mm.
Right. He's like, for example, and this is part of the interview that I read about him. He said, we need dump trucks to haul away all the debris so yeah. that we could start rebuilding. But nobody's fucking helping with that because it's not sexy.
Yeah.
No one wants to pay for dump trucks.
Yep.
Right. And so I think about that every time I think about like this whole humanitarian Olympics basically that people play
mm.
where it's like, I don't care about children with hair loss. I care about Gaza. And mm-hmm. it's like, you can care about both. Yeah. One of them is far easier to help than the other, by the way.
Yeah.
You yeah. know? And it's like, I'm not saying I hate people in Gaza because I'm working on getting little girls some high quality hair prosthetics.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's not as cool on fucking Instagram.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to get some people to care about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cause it's not sexy, you know?
You know, we got a lot of great feedback at the charity ball from the parents. That's what really like makes me proud of the work we're doing here. But this isn't just us here, guys. This is you at home. If you are any products that you buy from us, you are supporting children with hair loss as well and yep. the cause. But when parents come up to us and just like, just thank you for, you know, the work you guys are doing, or you guys have fired up my kid or made them, you know, they're so pumped to be part of the Great Cut or see this whole thing go down, or, you know, and also knowing that we have a little contribution to every one of those hair kits that go out to all those 600 plus kids across the country. It's freaking awesome. And as a parent myself, like I, you know, my daughter has been sick the last couple of weeks. She's been like Sienna. She really had this stomach thing going on. She's throwing up all the time. And then she was fine for like 4 days. And then now she has like an ear infection again and she's all messed up again. We're like, what is going on? I feel like she's getting like sick too often.
Mm.
And I can't, as a parent, you're always worried about your kid mm-hmm. constantly. But I'm just like putting my like some perspective on it of like, I'm, you know, my mind's going to like, well, what if something's really wrong with her?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what if she has one of her organs is messed up, or she's got some blood thing, or we got to do blood work. You know, like, we got to figure out what's going on here. Yeah. Like, your mind starts going like crazy. And then if your kid actually does have something that's not just a cold or something they can get over, like, the feeling of kind of devastation as a parent is... I can only imagine, because my kids aren't super sick, but some of those kids we've met, they have cancer, you know, they have blood diseases. They have, like, alopecia is, yes, the most common, but also I think it's one that is, out of all the kids that Children with Hair Loss helps, there is different levels to the ailments that they're suffering from. And the ones who are, like, suffering from, you know, alopecia has its own set of things that it's going to bring difficulties in your life, right? Like, social, and you maybe always have to explain why you don't have hair, the bullying for the kids, so on, so forth. But then the kids who have cancer or are suffering from other stuff is, like, just a whole nother, I don't know, heart deep string, level. Deep, like, there's also just like pain. There's pain. There's so much pain there, not just for the kid and their experience and what they have to go through, but their parents and then their grandparents. And, like, I just, like, try to put myself in those parents' shoes. And I'm like, man, you're doing awesome is what I want to tell them, you know, because like, I cannot imagine how extremely difficult and how much that just tears you down every single day.
Yeah.
And then you don't know what to do, and then you got to trust, like, the medical doctors and everything. And then, you know, I don't know. Do you trust them?
Yeah. That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's
it's a good point, though, dude. It's like, a lot of those, you know, I think it was all girls this time, right? That were at the event.
It was, there have been more boys in the past. Yes. Yeah.
So, but, like, all those girls, a lot of them did have other ailments.
Yes.
And it's like, that's crazy, dude, for a kid. No kid should ever have to deal with, like, serious illness. It's crazy.
Right. I know.
So, like, the fact that we could provide even just a little bit of relief. Yeah. I know it might seem silly to some. It's like, it's just hair. So, yeah, but... If one thing can go right for them, why wouldn't we try?
Right.
To help?
Yeah.
That's a check in the win column.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little morale boost.
Yeah.
And that's what they need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, you know, we talked a lot about, like, the external issues, the bullying. I mean, obviously there's the sickness, the internal sickness, and the bullying and the being made fun of and teased and looked at differently. And then there's the internal thing that these folks go through too. That is, like, the loss of self, you know,
yes.
Like what I talked about earlier about, you know, trying not to find my identity and my appearance.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, that's me. You know, imagine being a little girl in high school, a girl in high school, a 16-year-old girl. You're pretty, you're pop, you know, whatever. Maybe you're not pretty and popular, but you go through this period of losing your hair and you feel ostracized. You feel like you don't look like yourself. You don't feel like yourself. Like, just this, what people consider a small gift of hair is, like, enormous in that, like, the gift of self that it gives to some of these kids, you know? And, you know, talking to I'm blanking on her name. We hung out with her the whole time.
Emily?
No. She was a recipient.
Mahala.
You know, just talking to Mahala at the charity ball, you know, and just, you know, she lost her hair at 15, 16.
Right.
You know, and hearing about what that, you know, did to her and how it made her feel. It's like, yeah, it seems small, but, like, imagine being a dude and going bald. Like, that's, you might think, like, you won't care, but trust.
Right.
Like, you're going to feel that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and doing that in high school too. Yeah. Even for a guy, that would be a big deal in
totally
high school too. Totally. Or in junior, any level, any age. Yeah. But
it's very common that when people pass judgment and they're like, oh, well, you know, you should just teach them to not care about, like, their superficial, like, appearance. It's like, yeah, but you're processing that information from the maturity and the ability to reason that you have now.
And the privilege of being healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. But when you're 12 years old and your freaking hair falls out, like, how are you going to look at a little girl and be like, you're just being superficial. Like, you shouldn't don't worry about your hair. Yeah. Get over it. And it's like, no, dude.
You're not equipped at that age
to
have those existential considerations.
No, you just think something's wrong. Like, something's wrong with me.
Yeah,
like,
you're scared.
Scared. You know?
Yeah.
Totally.
So, change of pace here.
Yeah.
One
more. Before we change it, I just wanted to bring one more thing up in this sphere. Is just what we got to see in Michigan, too. I hope we can recreate some of it to maybe a bigger extent or smaller extent. But, like, how all those kids are there, and that's their, so for a lot of them, the first time they get to be with other kids that are going through what they're going through or comparable to what they're going through. And they could look across the room and say, you're just like me, you know?
I'm not alone.
And I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And how much more confidence does that give them when they go back, you know, home?
Yeah.
It's that, community.
So that, yeah.
It's community.
That was one thing I liked is after a while, you could see a lot of the girls, they like didn't even want their wig on anymore.
Right. Yeah.
They were just running around carefree and they feel totally safe. No one's going to be mean to them.
Yeah.
And they can just be who they're supposed to be, which is just them.
A person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where were you going there?
So how else do you guys plan to grow more in 2024?
Well, I think outside of just continuing to pursue greater fitness and mental toughness, I think there's just a lot of discipline to still acquire for the business, just from my own personal actions every single day to how we all operate as a team and just keep going to the next level. You know, we keep climbing up ladders, but I think that's part of growing more is our team has to grow more in 2024 to fucking make it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And then another personal one for me is just you guys are talking about social media, I think, is taking a whole different approach to social media. And I found myself just several days ago, it was like right before Christmas, I'm just like the kids were asleep and I'm just sitting on the couch. I don't know. It's probably like 9:30 and I'm just looking at Instagram and I'm just scrolling and then like jumping over to the Finder feed or whatever it's called. And then back to the regular feed. And then I'm watching people's stories and I'm like,
for what?
What am I looking for?
Yeah.
I'm on here. Like I'm looking for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the answer is right here. Like I'm gonna find the answer right here. Right. But I'm like, what answer? What question? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What the hell am I doing? I'm literally doing nothing. I'm wasting my time, wasting my brain power. I could care less about all this crap that I'm looking at. And it just made me think, like, if I produced as much as I have consumed, like, I feel like my life would be totally different.
100%.
You know, and so that's kind of my approach going into this next year is I want to stop consuming and I just want to produce.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
One thing that's helped me in the screen time department, which is what we're talking about, is just recently, literally 2 days ago, I moved my social media folder on my phone to page 3 of my, like, so I have to swipe over twice to now get, it's not on my home screen anymore.
Nice.
And my screen time has gone down 3 hours a day. Like, it's insane.
Nice.
And because I don't need to be on there. I don't need to see what all my friends are doing all the time. Like, we're constantly connected.
Yeah.
It's just, I need to, again, focus. What am I doing with my time? Why am I fucking scrolling right now?
Yeah.
No, there's no point.
Yeah.
It's not adding anything.
Totally. I use the app lock thing, like the time limit you could set on apps.
Mm-hmm.
That does help, but you could still get bypass it because, like he says, oh, add 15 more minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to one-up what you did. I started just completely deleting it all.
Mm.
And I know we have, you know, I'm supposed to help with the company Instagram, which I haven't lately, honestly.
None of us have.
I've just been so sick of social media.
Sorry, guys, if you notice our Instagram's pretty dead. I know,
it's
we suck.
Freaking burnt out, dude.
We're consumers, sorry.
We're trying to, we're changing.
So I realized that most of the social apps, when you delete them, they still remember your login information.
Uh-huh.
So you can just reinstall it. I tested this, at least with Instagram.
Yeah.
I deleted the app for like... Well, let me actually tell the whole story. So I caught myself just doing the death scroll for the millionth time. And I just had this moment where I was like, fuck.
Yeah, what am I doing?
What am I, fuck. Oh, I was like, I felt like I just had this sudden rage of like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And so I just like, I went to delete it. Right. And then I had this pause of like, oh, well, how long do I delete it for? And then I had another little bit of rage where I was like, why am I even asking that question? Just delete it, dude. So I deleted it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I will install this again if I truly feel compelled to open it and like, I really want to talk to someone or for any, if I really feel like I need to go
or
back
have
on
to
there.
Do something on there. Yeah.
And I was like, if I have to do like a work thing, I'll just reinstall it real quick. Right. And then I realized like, I went like 2 weeks of no Instagram.
Yeah.
And I didn't even, not only did I like, no, it wasn't even like, oh, no, you know, willpower, dude. I didn't even think about Instagram.
Yeah.
Right? It was no longer part of my routine.
Yeah.
And I just didn't even, and my screen time went way down.
It's just not an option anymore.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And then I, a buddy of, or someone texted me about like, oh, you know, why haven't you added me back or whatever on IG? And then, because they had just like recently returned to the app or something. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I actually deleted the app like a couple weeks ago. I'll reinstall it and just follow you back real quick. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had all these like DMs and stuff. And I was like, I didn't even open them. I was like, I don't even want to read these. Like, and so I followed them back and I just deleted the app again. And so just not having the app there defeated my impulse to just open it. Because my brain was like, hey, it's dopamine time.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And another thing that really helped, because I like YouTube, and I realized that I would be watching, like, hours of YouTube, right? Because I like to, like, I might watch, like, a video while I'm doing something else. Mm-hmm. And so I use this app called Brave Browser, and it's like a browser that's total emphasis on privacy.
Yeah.
It can't, like, even if you accept the cookies on a website, it won't do it by default. It does. You can't have cookies, like, nothing, right? So on Brave Browser, spoiler alert, you can go on YouTube and there's no ads, by the way. And so what I started doing was anytime I wanted to watch YouTube, I would go on Brave Browser and go to YouTube there. Number one, so I don't get ads. But number two, it doesn't save my login information, so I don't have an algorithm. It's just random every time, and I don't feel compelled to like, oh, because like I love, for example, woodworking.
Yeah.
So if I open the YouTube app, I get all these suggestions like, ooh, look at this carving, and I'm like, oh, I want to watch that, you know. So I get no algorithm, and then I have to like manually enter if I want to watch a specific YouTuber or if I'm looking for something specific. I have to like manually type it in and like I'm adding more steps to the process, to the point where I'm like, I don't even really want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
But like those apps are designed to make you want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other thing was, and I did this like a year ago, I turned off all notifications.
Oh yeah. That's huge.
For all the apps.
Huge. Mm-hmm.
Don't notify me. I don't give. If there's nothing on this app that you're gonna send me that I need to know about.
Yeah.
Because that you wouldn't just text me directly. Yeah.
Send me an email.
Yeah. But get, dude, it's crazy to think like you could get hours back.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Hours.
Well, what's even crazier to think about is we are in our mid 30s. I'm in my late 30s. You guys are in your mid 30s. I'm in my late 30s, approaching 40 here. We are battling with this, like the app's got us, right? Like how do we even teach the younger generation when we can't control it?
Yeah.
We're talking about mechanisms and techniques we're using and stuff just to beat the addiction or the dopamine hit or the whatever the hell you want to call it.
Yeah.
Like the the problem here is huge.
Yeah.
And
especially for kids.
If you can't solve it yourself personally, and this goes back to like mental toughness, discipline, and so like you can't solve this, how could you sit and tell your kid like, hey, yeah, no screen time, and yeah, now you're over here like just doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking at, you know, it's just yeah. It's gross, dude.
Yeah. I do believe that when all you know, like, you know, I'm not a parent, but like my niece, who I spend a lot of time with, right? She doesn't know a time before the internet.
Yeah. Hey, right? Just push your mic down just hair. A little bit. Yeah, just right there you go.
Okay. She doesn't know a time before the internet, right? She doesn't know a time before social media.
Right, right.
She has more followers on Instagram than I do, by the way. She doesn't know a time before any of that. This is her reality, that these things are what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
But she is also living proof, because she's only 10, that just because those things have existed since she's existed, doesn't mean that she's screwed. Because like this kid wants to be out, like she wants to be outside.
Yeah.
Right? She gets bored being inside. She's also like plays a lot of soccer, right? But the point is, I think that people in general, regardless of adult or child or whatever, it's all about conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of kids, the iPad is their nanny.
Right.
And they can't last 10 seconds without having a screen in their face, because that's all they know. Because that's what the adults give them. It's like, I don't want to deal with you. Here's your iPad. Like, be quiet.
And that's so sad. Quiet. That just breaks my heart.
Exactly.
Dude.
Those kids are screwed. And that might even end up being the majority of people. But the point I'm trying to make is it's not inevitable for a kid to just be hooked on social, you know?
Totally.
It's not nature. It's nurture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
If you go to a restaurant and you see like a parent sitting there and the kid is looking at a phone, or if they have the iPad, it's even worse, but if they're just looking at the phone, I'm like, it really bothers me so much as a parent, because I'm like, you are destroying your kid's experience of this awesome social thing that you're doing. You're out here, there's all these other people, there's a restaurant, it's lively, there's people walking, there's things happening, there's plenty to look at, there's plenty to ask about, there's plenty to talk about, you know, like
so much exploration,
so much to just literally sit in a seat and take in. And like, you as a parent need to facilitate that and like let your kid know, like, hey, don't be bored. Like, or honestly, it is good also for your kids to be bored.
Yeah.
Just because they're bored, don't give them a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Sit there and be bored.
Yeah. You're not like, going to die.
You're going to be fine. Yeah. And guess what you're going to do? In about 5 minutes, when you're sick of complaining about being bored, you're going to actually use your little creative mind, and you're going to go start building something or make it something or go in the backyard or do something. I tell my kids all the time. And my kids rarely even say they're bored, but when they do say they're bored, I'm like, good.
Go outside.
Good. No, figure it out. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get to watch TV right now.
Yeah.
We don't do, my kids have rarely any time on phones unless they're doing their like school, they have to do work on computers. So they do get an iPad sometimes to do their actual work on for their classes.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, so small. And Heidi and I really try to make that a point. But the takeaway from that is like, we can only control so much in our house, right? They're going to keep getting older. They're going to be around more kids.
Yeah.
Kids are going to start having phones in their classes pretty soon.
Yep.
You know, we can't control that then. Then they're going to be looking at their, and then what? So it's like, no matter what, the device is coming to them. So like, holding off as long as we can, I feel like is kind of what our strategic thing has been.
Yeah.
And it's been working great.
Cell phones had just come out when I turned, well, that's not true. I mean, cell phones came out in the 80s, but the cell phones as we know them today,
sure,
you know, the the smartphones.
The flip phones where you could text. Remember those Nokia, like, blocks?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
My
that
first
was,
phone.
Yeah. In high
snake
school,
on it.
I had the Nokia brick, too. Yeah.
I had a Nextel flip phone was my first phone freshman year in high school.
Legit. Do you remember the Sidekick?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Not
many people had the Sidekick.
And then
I
it was
from.
And then everyone had the BlackBerry.
Or the Razer.
The BlackBerry was like, Razer. Yeah, that whole BlackBerry wave was the precursor to the smartphone.
Yeah.
And then I recall the iPhone came out in like 07, I think, the Gen 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started dating this girl. She broke my heart. I hate her forever.
you need to grow more in 2024. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. We're actually friends to this day. But she had an iPhone. And like that was the first time I ever saw a smartphone. And but yeah, that hit like as I was already leaving high school.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't, I didn't know anyone that had an iPhone until after I graduated.
Yeah.
And then I remember like the day I graduated boot camp, it was you know, mid 2009, let's say. I went straight to the Apple store and bought an iPhone.
Yeah.
By the way, it was $99.
Wow.
Yes. Damn. I got an iPhone Gen 3 for $99.
Now they're $1,000 plus.
Yeah. No, now they're up to $1,200, I think, for like the super USA number one version.
Insane.
Anyway, so I did hear someone make a good point because they were talking about their kids and like their philosophy on screen time and technology. And they said, like, I don't want my kid to be the one that doesn't know how to use it. But I do think that it's important to teach them balance and moderation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
what's weird is they just know how to use it, though.
It's very intuitive.
Even my kids, like, I just, even when they do get it, like, even they'll, if my phone's sitting there, they'll grab it, they'll open the camera app, and they'll start recording video.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you gotta
never taught them how to do it.
The thing is,
like, because the camera app is right here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They just hit that, and then they'll rewatch it, and it's like, all right, give me that.
So that doesn't surprise me because you have to think, for example, all three of us have iPhones, right?
Yeah.
Apple has invested billions. Maybe even trillions, not trillions, right? But like, let's say hundreds of billions into making this phone as intuitive as possible.
Right.
They have invested a number that we couldn't even comprehend.
Yeah.
Right. So that anyone can pick that phone up and use it.
Yeah.
Right. That was the whole philosophy of Apple under Steve Jobs, was to be as accessible as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see a kid that can just pick it up, and not like the first time they ever touch it, but then it's almost like you blink and all of a sudden, you know, a week later they know how to, like, I had a nephew. Well, he's still my nephew. He's obviously still around, but my nephew, when he was, had to have been like 4 years old, he knew how to get his mom's phone. He couldn't read or anything, right? But he could pick it up and he knew how to swipe to open it, her iPhone. And then he knew which icon was YouTube, and then he would open YouTube. And because he was like the one that watched YouTube on her phone more than anyone, the algorithm was just all cartoons.
Yeah.
So then he knew how to, he would just see cartoons and then like click on the thumbnails with his little finger. And if he didn't like it, he knew how to skip to go to another cartoon until he found one that he liked. And he was like 4 years old, dude.
Yeah.
And that to me is like the genius of smartphones is that a little human that doesn't even know how to read knows how to use it to get to what he wants.
Yeah.
Right. But that's also scary, right? But I think it also goes back to nature versus nurture, right? It's what are you going to teach this person as far as like how much they're using it and how much it's going to affect their life.
Yeah, totally. You know? Totally. Well, that got on a huge tangent because I was asked, what am I going to do more, grow more for 2024? But so, like, what are you guys? What are your focuses?
What about you, dude?
Well, I just recently, with the guy I mentor, Anthony, who shot the charity wall video for
Anthony,
us.
Anthony, what's up, big dog?
Anthony Munoz. Shout out to him.
Big shout out.
I've been kind of meeting with him, mentoring him over the last probably 3 or 4 months. Every other week we meet for an hour. And one of the exercises I did with him was the personal core values. And I've had personal core values for a few years. It was pretty sparse. It was just three words: integrity, compassion, and consideration. These are the three things that I want to exercise every day. And in doing this exercise with him, I took it as an opportunity to kind of revisit those things. So I've rethought my personal core values, and as they stand now, I'm going to be using that in 2024, and they are as follows: to exercise integrity, compassion, and consideration with all people, to not pass up opportunities for growth and gratitude, and to be an example of how people can show up as their best selves in their work and in their life.
Nice.
And I think, you know, like, I am my best self right now. Like, I've never been better. I've never been more healthy, more emotionally stable, more physically fit, like, ever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is my, it feels like a calling, you know? Like,
yeah.
I've done it for years. I've mentored people for years in business, in the, you know, cinematography space. But I was a fucking piece of shit, you know, for a long time, and just like barely hanging on. And I finally feel like, the best version of myself, you
nice,
know? And
yeah.
And I think that, like, I'm still growing. There's still opportunities for growth. And so that's one thing, is to just focus on those things as I move about my life and relationships and friendships and all these things. And then I've also been really leaning into this idea that, like, you can be the best thing that ever happened to you. And when I look at the growth I've experienced over the last year and a half to 2 years with my physical fitness, my discipline, I can really, like, I feel so lucky to have, like, made it out, you know, of some really dark places.
Yeah.
And, man, I'm so lucky to be here.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, that's, I'm leaning into that more in 2024. Just
wait, hold on. Go say it again. You are your,
you can be the best thing that ever happened to you. Yeah. You have the ability to be the best thing that ever happened to you. If everything else in your life is shit, you can look inside and say, everything else sucks around me, but I will choose to be the good thing in my life. And that means that when it's hard to get up in the morning and go work out, you do it. You know, it's a gift. Like, it's a gift to yourself.
It is.
You know, and when you feel like shit and you don't want to go for your walk or whatever, like, dude, just get outside and put some ground under your feet and move and get the sunlight on your face.
It's like beating that first 5 minutes. Like, because once you're out going, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you start feeling good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And especially if you're hungover, which I'm hungover, you know, not as often as I used to be, but now it's automatic. You know, I pop out of bed and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for a walk with this headache and I'm going to come back and shower and I'm going to be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the two things I'm leaning into, my new kind of revamped personal core values and this idea that you can be the best thing that ever happened to you. And that, you know, that kind of ties in with showing, being an example of how to show up as your best self in your work and in your life. And, I'm excited, man. I'm so excited for 2024 and just everything with the business. It's been a slog for the last 6 months, you know, just us staying afloat, and we've had to cut some folks, and it's, you know, it's made our jobs a lot harder and, you know, but now is the time where you have to tighten it up.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like, you can't just give in, you know, you can't give up, you can't give in, you can't be defeated.
Yeah.
Like, the game will continue without you, whether you're in it or not.
Yep.
This life thing, you know? And so stay in the game, because that's how you win. There's no winning.
Yeah.
There's no winning life, right?
Playing, like, is winning.
Playing is winning. It's
as
that,
long as we're playing, we're winning.
The game theory thing, you know, like, we are playing. Life is in a sense, an infinite game.
Yep.
And as long as you're in it, you're winning. And same thing with business. Same thing with fitness. You don't win fitness. You know, if I could take a note from Alex Hormozi, like, you don't win fitness. Like, you're winning when you're in it.
Yeah.
And then if you're staying in it, same goes for business, same goes for relationships, same goes for life in general.
Yeah.
And so really just trying to show up as my best self, you know, and respond as my best self. That's another big thing for me too, is I've had some really serious issues with my response to outside stimulus. I grew up with ADHD. I grew up with anger problems. I went to anger management and was on Ritalin and Adderall and all the things, you know, and I had issues, and, you know, I've made some very regrettable decisions and actions in my childhood and even into my teenage years and even into my adult life. And realizing that I'm not my feelings, you know, and like, I can feel them and I can address them and I can look at them and I can personify this anger and I can personify this hurt or abandonment or whatever it is. I can personify it as the little Sean, you know, this little boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And say, thank you, dude.
Yeah.
But I'm good, man.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I'm just lucky to be here, dude.
That's great. Dude.
That's dope, dude.
Well said. Yeah. I mean, I think everybody can apply that whole philosophy to what they're going through, what they're doing. And I love it, man. Absolutely love it. I feel blessed to work with you guys every day. I think what we're doing here is, you know, people don't get to see under the engine, if you will. It's what I like about the podcast, is it does give us a chance to open up. Let some of these things out that we're not necessarily gonna, you know, record a video about or whatever.
Yeah.
And the people who listen, like, they take a lot.
Yeah.
From like what you just said. So that's fantastic. And I could not agree more.
Jose, you're up, dude.
This coming year, I think my emphasis is just going to be on overall going pro.
Yeah.
I think I definitely grew a lot in my role this year. And I know I actually, on our last year's end of the year kind of roundup show, I kind of said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did do it, you know. I don't think I know. I know that I did what I said I was going to do, which is to grow into my role more here on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But now the team is different, and I'd made progress, but there's more ground to gain.
Oh yeah. Well, it goes right back to what Sean said. I mean, it's never over. We're in it. We're playing.
Yeah. And now it's, I want to go pro. Like, I want to take my skill set and I don't know what, I don't even want to say something as cliche as like go to the next level. But I just want to, I want to develop myself more. I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, well, I should find a guide for this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the motherfucker that can make a guide.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how else to articulate it.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, well, maybe Knock Around will let me go check their spot out. I mean, I'll do that anyway forever, just because it's always great to seek inspiration and also see how other people are doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But not from, I don't want to do that from the perspective of they know more than me and I just hope that they'll help me out.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, no, I want to make them my peers now.
Right.
And I want to be able to have something that I can teach them.
Right.
And whoever them or they is, right. That's the person I want to hit next year, you know? And also, I think on a personal level, the pandemic like wrecked me, dude, financially. And I've fully bounced back since then, but it did kind of instill this like conservative nature in me where I'm like afraid to make a move now.
Scarcity mindset.
And I've kind of been feeling like, I have this scarcity mindset out of fear, you know? And it's like, I don't want to be static anymore. Like, I have to get back in those trenches and make a move, you know? And that's something that I'm definitely going to fix in this coming year is get off the fucking bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
in what about, like, is there something specific or just kind of in general or?
No, nothing specific I'd call out right now necessarily, but more so like to even allow myself to think in terms of, I don't just have to worry about like having my little hoard of gold and like, no, I could lose it all again, you know? And it's like, no, dude, like.
Take some risks is what I'm hearing.
Take some risks. Yeah. But like even before physically taking the risks, it's like just even allow yourself to think in terms of what are calculated risks I can take.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
I think that is the precursor to taking actions to improve your situation.
Yep.
You know? And I really need to work on that one this coming year. And also, pardon me, sorry, beer's getting to me. There's also this thing that's like this, it's like a sickness that is just taking over. Not necessarily totally unfounded, because there's definitely a conversation to be had about like income disparity and you know, shitty pay and all that, but. Actually, Sean, you were there.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with a friend recently. And this friend is of the mindset of like entitlement. Like, I'll never get invested in any job because, you know, blah, 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 blah. Right.
Because why would I? Why would I?
Yeah.
The owners are bad people. Yeah.
It's like this basically like fucking Marxist thing where anyone that has any business owner is a tyrant and they're just there to make money.
They're hoarding all the money for themselves.
Yeah. And they had this mindset of like, I'll never care about my job because I'm not here to make them rich and stuff like that. And it's like, I in the most fundamental, like on paper level, that I understand what you're saying. And I don't necessarily disagree about like my purpose in life is not to make someone else rich, but I don't like, that tells me that maybe you just don't work in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
If, 'cause my perspective is first and foremost, obviously I'm not just here to pay bills and die and make someone else rich. But if I'm going to spend sometimes as much time here as I do at home in my waking hours, right?
Yeah.
Then I want to care about where I'm at. It's not just a paycheck, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of these people that have that mindset, they only seek paychecks.
Yeah.
Right? And so I know I have this kind of joke that I say where it's like, if something really hard is going on and we're all just grinding, dude, to get through it. And I always say like, well, beats working at the DMV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, obviously no offense to anyone that actually works there. But my point is, for my own personal desires of life, I would detest working there. I don't, that just the idea of that makes me just crazy, right? And it's not that it's a bad job. I'm sure it's actually a great job, right? But it's the nature of that kind of job where it's predictable. You do the same thing every day forever and then you retire.
Yeah.
And there are no stakes. It's like, I would never care about working there because it's so predictable, because it's so stable and so safe, right?
Yeah.
I want to be somewhere on a team where we have to fucking grind, dude. We have to drive the ball or we're never going to score, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of these like, those people have that mindset of like, you know, fuck every boss ever. It's like, that's the part you guys don't get, you know, like that feeling of like, it's just us. Mm-hmm. No one is coming to save us.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and showing
up. We control our destiny.
Yeah, dude. And showing up every day. And it's like, I gotta make a difference.
Yeah.
And it's not for some invisible boss on the 79th floor of this tower. It's like, no, it's I fucking see your faces. I've been to your houses. I know you're not rich, bro. Like, I've been to your house.
Yeah.
I know your kids. I know your family.
Yeah.
And
it's insulting. It's insulting when people say that shit about.
Well, it's just like, it's ignorant because you are not taking into consideration the risks that person has put on the line to even create what the thing is that's paying you.
Yeah.
Yeah. you know, giving you benefits and all the things.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's a tremendous burden that any business owner carries, yeah, and they have all the risk comes back to them.
Yep.
Yeah. And that person makes like a crazy amount of money, by the way, which is so super convenient that they're also like Marxist. But to me, it's this, like, if this place disappeared overnight, I would lose a job, but you and Chris might lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is those are the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like the four of us, what we do here, we can eat because of that.
Mm-hmm.
We have somewhere to sleep because of that. It's not just another, you know, it's not just dollars in my bank account. It's like, obviously, like, a man's security is not his job, right? But what I'm saying is, what we're doing directly affects our lives. It's not just adding more freaking numbers to a bank account, yeah,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
There's no punching clocks here.
We need to get to the point where we are all balling like that.
Yeah, no, that would be great. But to me, that's what, of the myriad of reasons why I like being here and on this team, that's one of the big ones.
Yeah.
Is I care about being here. I want to be here,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I want to be on this team, and I want those victories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's not just making money. I could make money. I could work at the fucking DMV, for example. Right? Like, it's not about money, dude. And so every time I see people that are like that, it just makes me sick.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't believe in pity, but like, it does make me kind of like sad for them. You know, it's like they just don't get it.
Right.
And maybe they never will.
There's no personal pride. There's no, like, there's no personal accountability. Like, I am me, you know, taking your friend for an example. It was just like this, like, I don't care. I'm going to show up and I'm going to do my job and I'm going to leave and I'm not going to do anything extra and da 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 da. And it's like, well, if you don't want to be there, why would you not perform your best?
Right.
And have some stripes on your uniform so that when you go somewhere else, you're in a better position.
Yeah.
Like, or if you don't, you go and do your own thing.
Mm.
Be the like, show up as your best self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At work and do the fucking work and be bad, you know, be a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was like multiple people in this conversation and like, they all basically had the same idea of, I don't care about my job because I don't care about my boss or my employer or whatever. And I said, like, you don't have to, you could hate their guts. It doesn't mean that you should be shitty at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a matter of professional integrity.
Yeah.
And I said, like,
it sounds like no matter where they are, they're going to do that.
Exactly.
But also maybe they've never been part of a real good team.
You're right.
Yeah.
And that's, they don't know what team means, because that's important.
Yeah. And I remember saying, you know, just because you don't like your job or your boss or whatever doesn't give you an excuse to be a slug.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you were a freaking slug at your last job and then you're trying to, for example, if we're hiring a new person here and I find out that they were a slug at their last job and then they say, oh, it's because I didn't like working there.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I'm not hiring you.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You're dumb.
You know?
Yeah, that's a great segue into our 10-year anniversary, which is going to happen next year in 2024. We were founded in 2014, freaking 10 years doing this, an idea that was nothing, which has spawned into where we are right now, 10 years later. I think my biggest takeaway as I continue to grind down this road and try to build this damn thing is that everybody online or wherever, there's a lot of stuff out there that talks about both of these modalities, if you will. There's like, it's so easy to make money and be e-commerce and be blow up and have this sick brand and be the personal brand, and you know, you could do it in 30 days and buy this program and use AI and do this stuff, and in 25 days you can have 500,000 followers and make $4.5 million per year. Okay, number one, that modality, total bullshit. But then you hear the real entrepreneurs, the real ones who've grind, the real ones who've built shit, the real ones who have amazing brands, amazing companies. They all talk about how long, how hard, how much it was to get to where they were. Some did it in 15 years. Some did it in 20. Some it took 30. Maybe some it took 10. You know, we are at a midway point. I feel like we are at a point where we are pros. We are in the pros, but we are not starters quite yet. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not all stars. We're not crushing it, making the $40 million contracts and stuff. But we see that on the horizon. We got to keep playing. We got to keep grinding. Doesn't matter how many more shots we take, how many more L's we're going to take. We're coming up. We're showing up. We're putting in the work. We're going to keep going and going here. We have a lot of years ahead of us till I think we're going to be at the – I think all of us have this vision of what freedom looks like.
Yeah.
You know? I am starting to lean towards like – yes, I see that as what financial freedom looks like. I don't think we'll ever be free from the game.
No.
We will never win. We will always have problems. It's always going to be shit that's going down.
Yeah.
Big decisions need to be made. Big money's getting thrown around. Big moves are happening. You know, that's never going to stop. And we're doing it on a bigger and bigger scale as we continue to grow. And the tighter we get the things that we can control, this is what's really important, is like focusing on what are the things that are completely in our control, and we need to absolutely like crush all those categories.
Yeah.
And as you know, that's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
We can't control a lot of our destiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which one do you focus on first, right? Mm-hmm. Like we all know we can get so much better, and we are doing it, and we're going to do it, and we have no choice because it's the only way that we get to the next level. And then when we're at that level, we're going to be like, well, now we got to do X, Y, Z to get to the next level. Yeah. You know, it ain't ever going to stop, and we're going to keep freaking growing more in 2024, baby.
Amen. I think that's a good place to end it, fellas.
I think so, boys.
Guys, thanks so much for listening.
Yes.
If you're not signed up at thegreatcut.us.
Oh, we'll hit them. We'll record.
I'm going to do it right now.
All right, hit them with
it. Go to thegreatcut.us. Commit to cutting your hair in 2024 to children with hair loss.
We have a lot of ticket options there, guys. You can donate in person. We also have children donor tickets. You can just come to the event as a general admission. You can take place as a haircutter, or if you know any haircutters, this is barbers, stylists, we need them. Tell them about The Great Cut. We got tickets for them, okay? And if you absolutely aren't going to be able to make it to San Diego, which we want you to because the event is going to be spectacular. You're going to want to be there, trust me. If you can't, you can mail it in. We got a mail-in option. We got adult and youth mail-in options, thegreatcut.us.
And if you're not there, if you're not at a donating length and you're growing it out, go to awkwardstagehair.com. Get into the Center for Awkward Stage Hair. Learn about all the stuff it takes to grow your hair long, how to make it easier, how to make it faster, all that stuff.
And don't forget, if you're not ready to donate or you're not able to donate, you can just attend.
Yes.
We're trying to make it, you know, sort of like a festival. There's going to be performances.
Dude, there's going to be 8 to 10 bands there.
Yeah.
12:30 to 10 p.m.
Yeah, and it's going to be just a vibe. Go, come party with us. Just festival. Just come party.
Let's
dude.
Party.
It's a festival.
And your your ticket directly contributes to making the event happen.
Yep.
And also enabling us to donate financially to children with hair loss.
Yep.
And also, if you're not able to attend in person and you're not able to donate money, go to thegreatcut.us and you can purchase merch. We have special hair ties that are only available there. We have t-shirts. We have various things that you can buy, and that money also directly contributes to The Great Cut.
Yep.
And just to touch real quick on tickets, I know we got a lot of these questions about like, oh, well, you're charging me to donate my hair. You're charging me to cut hair. I'm working. What da 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 da. Like, this is a massive undertaking for four gentlemen to do, you know, and what we ask is that everyone who is participating is bought into making it a success. So if you want to be a part of it, if you want to donate your hair, if you want to mail in your hair, if you want to cut hair, if you just want to show up, yes, we're asking you to pay.
Yeah.
Because we are asking you to buy into this cause that we believe in and that we know will have an impact, you know, for years beyond just 2024. Mm-hmm. So if there's any questions on why we charge, that's why. we want buy-in, you know, and if you're going to come and you're going to be a part of it, we expect you to buy in and help us make it a success. And we're not making a dime off this thing.
No.
All extra money beyond operating expenses goes straight to Children with Hair Loss. So the long hairs come out net zero after this.
We're basically running two businesses here for the next 5 months.
Yeah. We cannot iterate enough that all the money that we collect from tickets and all that stuff, it's not profit for us.
Yeah.
It's paying for the event. And then what was the amount that you guys donated in 2019?
50,000.
50 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not going into our pockets. It's not like we're profiteering off of these donations. Like
separate bank accounts.
Even. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do 100 grand this time. Come on. Let's double our cash donation.
Account. Yeah. So anyway.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it, boys. And also, we do have a subscription to the shampoo and conditioner available.
Yes.
Right now. Right now, there's an introductory rate, 20% off. If you sign up for the shampoo conditioner subscription, that's a 30-ounce set. That's a 10-ounce set. That's a 30-ounce if you just want to subscribe to the conditioner, just the shampoo. If you get on a subscription right now, it's 20% off. That's not going to last forever.
Lock it in for life.
Go to thelonghairs.us. You'll be grandfathered in when we take that deal off the table. You'll get 20% off for life your subscription.
Yeah, it's not just the one-time 20%, right?
It's every order.
For life.
Yeah.
If they get in while the getting's good,
yeah,
then they can lock in 20% forever.
Yep, because we're probably going to move that up to probably 15% or maybe even 10%. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for being here. We love you. Can't wait to see you March 16th, 2024 at the Broadway Pier in San Diego for the Great Cut. We are going to have an absolute blast. See you then.
See you.